Hallelujah. Isaiah 51, verse 11. You want to take your Bibles? Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return from whatever way it was that we were, wherever those places are that we seem to drift away to, he said, they shall return. And come with singing unto Zion. We've had so much said to us about that in the classes and Sunday morning about Zion, so we won't dwell on that. And then we touched on these three things out of these verses. And we're going to go on from where we left off, but I'm just reminiscing here for a second. First, after the redeemed of the Lord return from whatever it is they're wandering, the first thing that happens is that they come with singing. And they return to Zion. And it says, everlasting joy shall be upon their head. There is an anointing of joy in Zion. There is an anointing of joy that's permanently in Zion. It comes upon their head when they return to Zion. It comes upon our head when we come back to Zion. When we come back to the place where the Lord dwells, when we come back to the place where the Lord Himself is, when we come back to, it's a little bit loud, Steve, when we come back to the place where we know that God Himself is manifesting His presence and His Spirit, and the anointing of the Lord is there in a tangible way. That is Zion. It's the place where the Lord dwells. It's the place where the Lord is. It's the place where the Ark of the Covenant is. Now, the place where the Lord is, there is a permanent anointing of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is an anointing of joy that is there in the presence of the Lord. There is an anointing of joy there where the Lord is manifest. And it said that when the people return and come again to Zion, they find themselves, as they return, beginning to sing. And as they sing and return, when they come to Zion, they find everlasting joy, a joy that lasts a while, in other words, upon their head. In other words, there's an anointing that's there in that place that's like a covering. It's anointing you can touch into. Anointing that comes so close, sometimes we've said it's like a river of water over our head, and that we could just reach up and touch it or reach up into it and drink from it. It's like a river that's flowing. He said it's above your head. And so as we return to Zion and we come with singing, we begin to open our heart in the songs of the Lord and the songs of festivity and come to where the Lord is manifested. While we begin to sing, he says the anointing begins to flow upon our head. But then something else begins to happen. It says, they shall obtain. And that's where we left it last time. We'll pick it up tonight. It said, they shall obtain gladness and joy. Now remember, we don't make it up. It's here above our head. The obtaining takes place as we begin to draw from the anointing. When we begin to reach out and touch Him. You know, we hear a lot about the woman that came to the Lord in the middle of the crowd and touched the hem of His garment and she was made whole. But there, later on, the Scripture speaks and it says that when Jesus went to a certain place, all that came to Him and touched Him were made whole. They were healed. And there were who knows how many. The Scripture doesn't really record how many there were. But many, many people who were sick came and touched His garments and were made whole. They were healed instantly when they touched not just the hem of His garment like this woman, but there are other instances of the Scripture where they came and they took from Him that which they needed and desired. So there's not only the coming to the Lord, but there's the taking. There's an anointing that's covering. There's an anointing in the place where the Lord manifests Himself. But that doesn't put the anointing in you. That brings the anointing upon you. That brings the anointing into the meeting. That is the anointing, the manifestation, the flowing of the Spirit. The Spirit begins to flow, but then He looks for those to whom He can fill. Now, water always looks for the lowest places first. So the neediest, they're the ones that get it the quickest. It said the low places in the valley, He said, the Lord will fill them up. He said, the high mountains and the high places, they shall be made low. And so some of us that come in all stuck up, the Lord has to beat us down a little bit to where he can start filling us, because we're up there above the joy and gladness that's above our head. We stick up there like some big giant, and we're just looking down on everything, you know, and these poor little people come in here so needy. But you know, the anointing finds the lowly. It finds the thirsty, because the thirsty come in and start drinking from that river. The river is poured out. But God doesn't necessarily bring that river and just put it into you by force. There is an abiding anointing. There is an anointing that covers. There is an anointing of joy and of the Holy Ghost where the presence of the Lord is manifested. And He intends for us to obtain that. But obtaining now is man's part. The obtaining part isn't that the Lord just takes you and stuffs your mouth full and says, "Well, I know I gave you a whole lot last week, and I know you're not too hungry this week, but here, take some more. I just feel like giving this to somebody." Now, that's not how the Lord works. That's not obtaining gladness and joy. Obtaining gladness and joy means that when gladness and joy is above your head, you reach up and touch it like these people reached out and touched the garment of Jesus and were made whole. They came out from the crowd. They came. So the first part is coming to church, coming to Zion. Second part is starting with singing. That's what we've done. And now there's gladness, and there's everlasting joy above our head. The anointing is there. Now we have to reach out and touch it. We have to reach out and take it. Now once we begin to take of that anointing and participate of that anointing, something strange begins to happen. That anointing that is up there above our head, now as we begin to drink of it, as we begin to take of it, now is no longer above our head only, but it is inside of us. Because as you drink, as you take of that joy, as you take of the river, of the anointing, that anointing now is in you. And that anointing becomes, if you drink enough of it, it becomes then a well that is within us. And we'll talk about that after a little while. I want to take you to Joel chapter 3, verse 18. Shall come to pass in that day, I'll just read a few scriptures here for you to lay a basis, the mountain shall drop down new wine. Now the mountain is a high place. That speaks of the spiritual place. That speaks of the place of the Lord. That speaks of the Lord Himself. Now this isn't natural wine. This isn't speaking of natural wine that men make and things like this. But this is speaking of a new wine. This is speaking of the new wine that we were singing about. The new wine of the Holy Ghost, beginning to flow forth out of the mountain. Now this is a prophecy of Joel, the same man who prophesied that the Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh, the same man who prophesied, the same prophet who by the word of the Lord began to declare the mighty things that the Holy Spirit would do when He was poured out upon His people. Now in the same breath, as it were, He's speaking now of a mountain that shall drop down new wine. Not the old wine. Not the things that were done before. Not finding the things that the Lord had done before, but rather new areas and new wine. When the Lord makes new wine, it's nothing like the old wine. They said in the wedding of Canaan, there was a wine there served that hadn't been ever served before. A wine that the Lord had mixed, that He had made by His own power as He came forth from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Now that new wine was a wine that was from heaven. It was drunk by the people on earth. It was at a wedding feast. Now this is what we've been singing about. You know, we sing, we rejoice because it's the marriage supper is ready. It's the marriage of the Lamb. Jesus made His bride. He's made all provided and so on and so forth. And we sing this. You know, the Lord is really getting us ready for that wonderful marriage supper of the Lamb. When He went in there, that was a picture in Canaan into that wedding. It was a picture of the Lord. And what the Lord is going to do in preparation for this wedding supper is to prepare a new wine, a wine that hasn't been made before. One of the things we were discussing with Dad as we were coming from the airport, and we had a long time to come from the airport. You know, it's a long way from the airport when you miss 10 exits in a row. We're discussing that as many moves of the Lord as we've seen before, we're really trotting in new territory. Because this is new wine. And I want to emphasize this of the new wine. Because it's a new wine that the Lord is making ready for us to drink at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And it is a wedding of rejoicing. It is a wedding of joy. For He delights in His bride, and His bride delights in Him. For He has given Himself for her, and she in turn has given herself unto Him. And the Lord, for this wedding feast at the end of our age, is preparing a new wine. And the same prophet now is prophesying and saying that from the high mountain, from that place of the mountains, look at plural, shall drop down new wine. The hills, the lower places, flow with milk. And all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water, and the fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Acacias. Now, without going into the meaning of this, because I really don't intend to preach on this particular verse, although it'd be a wonderful sermon in itself, I just want you to notice the water beginning to flow from the house of the Lord. We go into Ezekiel and see the same thing flowing from the very temple of God, waters that we couldn't even swim in, that we just begin to tap into. I believe that we're just tapping into this flow, that this gigantic river from the house of the Lord, this mountain of the Lord, is giving forth a new wine. And we've just started to drink of this new wine. The Lord isn't just trying to make us happy here so that we can come to church and feel a new experience. The Lord has prepared for us something marvelous. The Lord has prepared for us something at the end of this age for us that is marvelous. Something that's of the Holy Spirit. Something that is new. And something that is likened unto wine. Because this wine has a way of not only gladdening the heart, but this wine has a way of feeding the soul. This wine has a way of inebriating the person who drinks it. And that's why they call it wine, because of the particularities of it. It affects people the same way wine does. He said there's just a river flowing from the house of God. He said there's a new wine like a river flowing of water from the house of God. And as it begins to flow, people begin to drink it. What do you do with wine? Well, you can store it for the longest time. But wine was really made to drink. This new wine that flows from the house of the Lord was meant to be drunk. And the Lord is pouring out this river. It's upon our head. It's a river of joy. It's a river of laughter. It's a river of the glory of the Holy Spirit. And as the river begins to flow, people begin to drink. They shall obtain. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Now the outcome of obtaining gladness and joy, and we'll get to that later, is that sorrow and mourning disappear. Because that's one of the things that the Lord has purposed for this new wine. As it is being drunk, it gladdens the heart. He doesn't want any sour faces at His wedding. You know, the wedding was prepared for a certain people, but the Lord said that they wouldn't come to the wedding supper. And so the Lord went out and chose all the rest of the world that they called filthy people, and they called nations whom God had spit out of His mouth, and that they always looked down on the Gentiles, you know. They always looked down on the rest of the world with disdain, and they were the people. God said, look, those who were invited didn't come, so He let them go, and He went out to the highways and byways. He went out to all the low-class people in their esteem, and He said, to them it shall be given, and they will come to this wedding supper, and they will be made glad by the King, and they came to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And that's what the Lord has done. And the Lord is going to bring us in with joy. He's going to bring us into His house with joy. All this is the revivings of the Holy Spirit in the Gentile world as the end closes, the edge of the age, bringing us into the house of the Lord, for the wedding supper of the Lamb is being made ready, and the Lord is making the people ready, and He's setting the mood for His wedding. There is a time for crying, there is a time for weeping, there is a time for mourning, but there is a time for new wine. There is a time for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. There is a time when God begins to move in the heavenlies and bring down on earth something new. I haven't walked in these ways before. I haven't drunk this wine before. This is new wine. This is the wine of the Holy Ghost prepared for us in this century, in this age. And I plan to drink of it, bless God, because this river that's upon my head, this new wine that's upon my head, was given to us and it was placed there so we could drink of it. We can't invent things. You can't make them happen. I can't make them happen. The flowings and the movings of the Holy Spirit begin to happen because they start in the heart of God. It was His purpose to do this. God's idea was to bring forth gladness and joy. His purpose was to mix a wine in heaven and pour it out from the mountains and out of the house of the Lord, and let it flow down to the valleys, and let it flow down into the places of need. Let it flow down into the low areas. And to all who would come and drink, he said, well, just fill them up with this new wine. And as they begin to drink of this new wine, things begin to happen inside of them. That's why Isaiah in the 44th chapter, he begins to pen, he said, that the Lord said, I will pour out upon him that is thirsty floods. He said, I will flood the dry ground. For him that is thirsty and that has ground that's dry, I am going to flood it. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And that was a prophetic word that I feel could be directed to Christ himself. He said, I will do a work. I will pour out my spirit upon all those that you birth, all those that are given unto thee, all those that come out from thee, all those that are yours. I will pour out my spirit, and I will pour it out in floods. The Lord doesn't pour it out in a drop or two. There comes a time where the move of the Spirit comes in rivers. It comes in waves like the ocean. It comes with strength. Drink. You're not gonna deplete the ocean. So, well, you know, if I drink from this, maybe it'll disappear. Well, it's grander than all the oceans put together of our world. Drink, honey, because you're not gonna waste anything. It's going to come into you, and it's going to be inside of you, a well springing up within your soul. I will pour out waters. Whereon it was written, the poor and needy shall seek water, and when they find that there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. The God of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers in the high places and fountains in the midst of the lowest valleys, and I will make the wildernesses pools of water. I will make the dry lands springs of water, saith the Lord. You see, this is prophecy being fulfilled in our day. This is the Lord. This isn't just having good services. This is happening everywhere. In the north part of the world, in the south part of the world, the east part of the world, the west part of the world. It is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost like at the beginning of the century. There was a mighty outpouring at the beginning of the century. This is a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He said, I will. And I could go even more than this and say that this scripture is fulfilled in our midst. These scriptures that I've been reading to you are fulfilled in our days. You know, it's amazing to me how some of the prophets prophesied thousands of years and sometimes hundreds of years before things actually took place. It's recorded in the New Testament when it was saying that these things need to be because so that it would be fulfilled as the prophet Jeremiah had spoken or the prophet Isaiah had spoken, and thus it behooved him to fulfill that scripture. Now here's a man who hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years died, decayed, and went, and people even forgot the name of the prophet, and hundreds of years later, here's a man that comes on the scene to say, I must fulfill because this is the day and hour in which what that man said is being fulfilled. Just like Jesus said when he took the book, the scroll, and began to read out of it, out of Isaiah, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your midst. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach good news. This day, how many hundreds of years had the prophet penned those words? And yet he waits the exact time, hundreds of years later, to be fulfilled exactly in the days of those people. I believe that we live in the day of the fulfillment of these words that I have spoken unto you. And there is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Say, well, I don't have very much because you don't drink very much. God wants us to come and he wants us to obtain that gladness and joy that's above our head. The Lord is sending it. The Lord has sent it from heaven. The Lord has desired it in his heart. It's an idea of God. It's something that's happened in the heart of God. The timing has come. The world has come to the right moment. The history that was written behind it was leading up to it. And that day came, the marvelous day, when those words should be fulfilled by the prophet who penned them, believing that God would speak a word that would then come true. Of course, when you speak a word, it would seem like sometimes it should be fulfilled right away. And it's not fulfilled right away. The Lord reminded me so many words that have been given here about the condition of the United States and what would happen in the United States and what things would take place. perhaps 300 years, perhaps all of us will be dead and gone. But the day will come when the Lord will raise up a person and say, this is that to fulfill which I spoke of. And the Lord does this with these things. It's like the prophet that prophesied that the person that ever built Jericho again, they would die, and their sons later on trying, several hundred years later, they just couldn't make it happen. They died and their children died. You see, God is a God that fulfills His Word. God spoke these things to Joel. He spoke them to Isaiah. But He's fulfilling them in our days. Bless the Lord. We live in the now for the fulfillment of these things. In Revelation, He said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is thirsty out of the fountain of life freely. You say, well, we read these the other day. Of course we did. But you wouldn't let me finish it, and you wouldn't let me explain them. So here you get it again. But God wants us to understand. He wants us to know that He is the Alpha and Omega. He wants us to know that He will give unto him that is athirst out of the fountain of that life freely. And that was spoken many years after Christ lived on the face of the earth. That was given as a revelation to John. He saw him as the Alpha and Omega. And as he fell before him, words like thunder went through his being. And the Lord began to speak of a fountain of life, a fountain of water that would flow freely in the world. And bless God, that water's flown from the heart of God many, 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 many times in several centuries. But he said to this, he said, added to that, that the Spirit and the bride said, come. He said, the water flows freely, but come. He said, the waters come from the fountains of God, but come, come and take this water. Now that's obtaining. Taking the water is obtaining. Coming to God and drawing from that fountain is obtaining. Looking is an obtaining. Observing is an obtaining. Trying to make up your mind what you're going to do with it is an obtaining. Obtaining is laying hold of that which God has given. Obtaining is drinking. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come and drink and take of this water of life and take it freely. Freely means an abundance. Freely means a lot of it. And freely means there's no charge. That means that God is giving. It is a gift of God. Some of us try in the smallest way to pay God for some of this. Lord, if I feel miserable enough, maybe you'll give me some of this water. Some of us think, oh God, you know, I cried, and when I cried, you gave me the gift of repentance, and so let me cry for this gift. He said, no, forget it. You're not going to get this gift out of me, forcing my arm and twisting. He said, well, Lord, how about if I fast? Maybe I'm not in any good condition to receive this. He said, maybe you ought to fast. Well, your suction capabilities are going to be far less famished and starved than they are if you're healthy. Start drinking. The rivers of life flow freely. And they're here in this place freely. And God has made sure that they are still above our head. The moment the anointing begins to flow, that river is there. Obtain gladness and joy because that river has been given to us. That's why in the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and let him what? Drink. 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 For those of you who haven't drunk, drink. For those of you who haven't taken a sip yet because it looks like it might be poison, drink. Drink of the waters freely. They were prophesied. They were promised a long time ago. They've begun to flow in all the rest of the world. Drink. Drink for your own sake. And for those of you who have drunk, the same thing. Drink. 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 There's a fountain. Drink. How often do you have to drink? Keep drinking. You say, well, I got drunk the other day. Yeah, but you're sober today. Live permanently drunk. Hallelujah. He said, well, I don't act too normal. But look at the mess your life is in when you act normal. You do much better drunk. You sin less. You're more alive toward God. You make a much better atmosphere for all the people that live around you. You're happy, you're relaxed. You take on life like if it's worth living. A lot of nice side effects when you're drunk. You know what happens to a drunk person? You won't find a drunk person that's totally anxious about anything. So the price of bread went up 50 cents. What does a drunk person care? We're filled with anxiety. We're filled with problems. Drink. Drink. You begin to lose some of the control over your life. Christians do so much better out of control than they do when they're totally controlled. That's a fact. It's not like driving a car that's out of control. That's dangerous. Living out of control when you're in church is a wonderful thing. That's when the Lord can begin to move. We don't have all these things and problems in our way. And he answered and said unto her, Woman, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. Now listen to this, John 4:14, same woman. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well. Shall be in him a well. Shall be in him a well. Now remember, the woman came to the well. He said, if you drink enough, you'll have a well in you. Then you won't have to come to the well. You'll have drunk so much that there is a well inside of you. And he said that this well that was inside of you of water would come springing up into everlasting life. Springing up into everlasting life. Now look at the part in you. Jesus spoke of this later on to the disciples in John 15. In the Gospel of John 15, verse 11, it said, These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, listen to this, might remain in you. That my joy might remain in you. Now to the woman a few chapters before, he said, I just want you to keep drinking, and as you drink, this water will become in you a well in you. Now think, first above your head, and then as we begin to obtain, it becomes in us a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Now as the scripture said, as we begin to obtain, then sorrow and mourning flee away. You see, there is a drinking until that well is within us. That holy unction of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that river of life and glory, which, by the way, manifests itself by way of laughing. It's not a river of laughter. It manifests itself in laughter. Just like the Lord can manifest himself in so many different ways as we have seen. But there is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit. You know the tree by the fruit. You know what spirit is here? By the fruit. What spirit works in you? By the fruit. The fruit of joy is the fruit of the Spirit. And it is an outflow of the Holy Spirit. And as we begin to drink of the Holy Spirit, it is now no longer as much above your head, it's above the head of those who haven't obtained, but for those who have obtained, there begins to be a little bit of reservoir of water within them. Now that's a wonderful thing. Why? Because with that reservoir of water now, you can tap into that reservoir anywhere. At work, play, in hard times and difficulties, in extreme necessities, you can draw on that well anytime. You see, some of you are beginning to drink enough so that I'm beginning to detect a well that springs up within you, and all I ask you to do is to begin to release that well that's within you. And sometimes we've had services where I have you go around and pray for other people. You say, well, that just happened because Robert said so. No, that happens because you got a well inside. Because God put something inside of you that's flowing. And you have enough for yourself and for other people. That's called the overflow. That's true ministry. Some people are waiting for God to send you to the mission field. Just begin the overflow now. We begin to drink until it begins to overflow. Say, well, I've already laughed. I've had the experience of laughter. Well, good for you. Keep drinking. Why? So that it overflows. Keep drinking till there's a well. Keep drinking until out of your innermost being flows these floods of joy, the glory of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the healing of the Holy Ghost, in the time where you least expect it. Wherever you are, it begins to flow, bubble up from within your soul. And no one's there to put a foot on your belly either. You've just learned how to let it bubble up. And when we're in the circumstances of tragedy, we're in the circumstances of affliction, and we're in the circumstances of tribulation, God has, prior to that tribulation, prior to the dark night that we'll all walk through, given us waters that are in us, a well springing up into the joy of the Lord that causes us to rise above the circumstances and ride over them like you would be surfing on the sea. Because sorrow and mourning flee away. And we have a lot of occasion for sorrow. We have a lot of occasion for mourning. We have a lot of occasion for sickness and for things that are difficult and for trial and tribulation. It said that when that well is beginning to fill up inside of you, you now have a reservoir that you can draw from. You don't have to wait until Wednesday night. You can draw from it right on the spot. But sorrow and mourning doesn't flee away until there's a manifestation of the river of joy that's in you. Sorrow and mourning, I'm repeating this, isn't just going to flee away because you drank on Sunday. It's going to flee away when you draw from the waters that are in you. As those waters that are in you become manifest, as you let them flow outward now, because until then they flowed inward, when they begin to flow outward, that's when that's when sorrow and mourning flee away. There has to be an anointing in function. There has to be an anointing that's flowing. You see, these are fruits of the devil. Sorrow, mourning, affliction, these depressions, oppressions, torments, sorrow, sickness, all this. This is all the work of the devil. Now Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, came by, and his work was to undo the works of the devil. Why? Because he had the Spirit without limit, the Spirit without measure. And the Spirit within him, that well within him that was bubbling over, overflowing, began to overflow into other people's lives, undoing the works of the devil. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. When? When we begin to manifest out of that river that we've drunk from. When it's above our head, sorrow and mourning flees away underneath the flowing of that anointing of the Holy Spirit in our meeting. That's when it's above our head. But you say, well, I have to live all week like some people say, I just had a week of hell, you know. And well, glory, you know, wonderful. You say, well, I just waited till I came on Sunday and I just came underneath that canopy again. And well, we ought to have services, you know, 24 hours a day on call all day long. But you can have one. God says drink when you come to one, and drink enough, and keep drinking until out of your innermost being begins to flow back out what's been flowing back in. And then it flows back out at the right time. When things start rising up and the devil comes in like a flood, immediately the Spirit rises up against him. Something inside of you rises to the occasion. The Holy Ghost that's within you rises. I'm not going to sit here nitpicking your brain when you've been worshiping and loving the Lord and rejoicing and having a glorious time and all he wants to do is ruin your day. Let the Holy Ghost that is within you, let that which you have drunk that is in you, a well of life everlasting, begin to well up and bubble up and stir up and begin to come up out of your well. And it's that water that spills out of your well that does away with sorrow and mourning and all the works of the devil and undoes the works of the devil, because that water that begins to flow from within you is the waters of the Holy Ghost. It's the water of the Spirit of the living God. It's waters that flows from heaven, and the devil knows it came from heaven. It just wasn't wine you drank down at the bar last week. It's waters that come from heaven. It's a wine that comes from a divine fountain. It's a fountain of life everlasting. It's a fountain of power and of glory that undoes the works of the devil. And as you're driving the car down the road and the devil's nitpicking your brain, you let it well up from within your soul. And as it begins to overflow into your car, out go devils, out goes sorrow, out goes mourning, out goes sickness. Because the Holy Ghost begins to flow in that place. And people sitting in your car get the overflow that's there. Because there's a fountain that's there. When Naomi called and is all oppressed by the devil in her body, and didn't why, something rose up inside of me, and I begin to pray. And as I begin to pray, something begin to flow over that phone. Because it's there in you. A well in you. These words have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you. Now it's no longer above our head. Now we've made the transference from above our head into our heart. And you can only do that by drinking again and again and again. Drink. Well, I already had the experience. What are you talking about? Drink. Some of you have enough already in you that I could stop the sermon right here, right now, if that's what I felt the Holy Spirit wanted us to do, and just point at one of you and say, okay, stand up, and just immediately things begin to flow from inside of you, because it's there. It's inside of you. is there waiting to just come out. You say, well, how do you let it come out? That's the trick. If you've learned how to if you've learned how to let it get in, you now know how to let it get out by opening your mouth. A door is an entrance and an exit. Praise God. There is a door. There is a way for these waters. You let it out through your mouth. That water is everlasting life. That water is the water of the Holy Ghost. And it's not just water of joy. Get the stupid idea out of your brain. Joy is the manifestation. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the water of the Holy Ghost. It's the water of the divine fountain from heaven that's in your being. And that water bubbles up, and when you let it come through your mouth, it will do whatever it needs to do. It's just as easy for that water going through your mouth to prophesy as it is to speak in tongues, as it is to laugh, as it is to get mad. You hearing me? As it is to praise, as it is to sing the song of the Lord. Just stand you up here. You say, all right, we'll give you this tune. Now start doing what Robert does. To forget you. Many times I've just been lost in the Spirit and just let it flow out of here. And after about 6 words, I think, oh my God, where are the rest of them going to come from? I'm right in the middle of it and they all rhymed up till now. How do you finish this? And the moment I get in my own mind and in my own flesh and you cut off your throat, that's it. That's what you've done. Cut off your throat. Open it up. He'll fill it. It was those waters that was creating the song. Because it's just as easy for the Holy Ghost to prophesy as it is for Him to speak in tongues, as it is for Him to sing the song of the Lord, as it is for praise the praises of God, as it is for Him to speak a word uplifting, as it is Him to command someone to be healed. Jesus sent the disciples away and He said, heal the sick. Cast out devils. Preach the word. Freely it has been given unto you in Matthew 10. Freely have received. Freely give. God has given us of this water freely. Drink of those waters. But once they're in us, He commands us, go out and let them flow. You say, well, I can't heal people. Yes, you can. You can open your mouth and out of it comes these words, be healed in the name of Jesus, because that water of everlasting life is in there. You say, well, I can't speak in tongues. Open your stupid mouth, because in it you've been drinking from the waters of everlasting life. And the Holy Ghost, which has been speaking in tongues for thousands of years, will speak them through you. It's the same Spirit. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same fountain. It's the same fountainhead. Out from the mountains flow a new wine. So we haven't tried it. But it's a wine that flows in the Holy Ghost, and we've tried the Holy Ghost. God wants us to learn to drink for those who haven't yet. He wants us to drink. That's a command. Come, drink. You say, well, what if they don't start flowing out from my innermost being? He didn't ask you to do that. He said He'd do that. Come and drink, and out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That's His idea. That's His deal. That's His power. That's His work. We begin to obey God in simple things, and He begins to do the big work. You say, well, I can't heal anybody. But God commanded you to. Heal the sick. There is a work of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, how can I do it? By drinking. You begin to drink again and again and again, and you begin to obtain that gladness and joy that comes, which is the manifestation of this river that's flowing now of the Holy Ghost. You begin to drink of it until out of your innermost being it gets just so full, so full, so full, so full. You keep drinking and it's going to come out. Look, if nothing else, you're going to sweat it out. Let it come out. And if you open your mouth and nothing comes out but your old sorry spirit, well, no, you haven't drunk enough. Just use coming out. That's right. Many of you are able to already open up the fountain and let it flow from the Holy Ghost. And it takes the same action to touch through, to touch the hem of His garment. It takes the same action to take it from above your head and put it in your heart. That's the same action that takes it from your heart and releases it out. God isn't going to release it. He wants you to release it. We release the anointing. God doesn't. Use it. I told you before, the word of prophecy, Brother Rick Ramirat had for me down in Panama. He didn't even know who I was. He didn't even know that I was one of the speakers. It was first night when we arrived there in the stadium. And I've told you this before, but somehow I need to say it again. And he just began to prophesy. And he pointed right straight at me. And he probably didn't know he was speaking to me until I told him later in the hotel. He said, God's given you his power. He's given you his anointing. He's given you this. He's given you this. Use it. And I mean, he said it like he brought me off the chair when he said it. Use it. And that's what God wants us to do. He's not going to use it. Say, oh, Lord, you put this water inside of me. Use it for your glory. Forget that. You're going to die of death. Start releasing the anointing that's in you. Start releasing that faith that he's put there. Start releasing that fountain of joy. And if that fountain of joy just is released by laughing only, well, glory, good for you. That's better than the other alternative. Our unbelief and sorrow that we drag into church, that doesn't have to be. There's a river of the Holy Ghost that we drag from that you shouldn't have unbelief at least for 6 more months if you didn't drink one more drop. Enough faith in you that when released, you come right straight off that chair and begin to prophesy right now. Enough faith in us. Say, well, God gave me the blueprints for the service tonight. No, he didn't. I don't know ever what he's going to do. I have a few scriptures. Sometimes he uses some of them. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes I come 10 services. Sometimes I come 50 services in a row with the same message. Never preach it. I preach all kinds of other ones, but never preach that one. But when you open your mouth, he'll fill it. And he doesn't just fill it the moment you open your mouth. What he does is begin to flow out from the inside. The Holy Spirit, like a mighty, gigantic river, tied in, tapped in to an ocean of reservoirs in heaven, out from the very house of God, out from the heart of God, out from the throne of God, comes these rivers of living water that found in us a fountain springing up like an artesian well. It found a crack in the earth that it could come up from, and it blesses the valley, and it blesses the people that are around us, and it blesses our own life, and it blesses the people that God brings surrounding us in church, and it blesses us out of church, because that fountain begins to come up through the crack in that dry ground and in that hard rock, and out from it comes bubbling up this water that goes down into the driest ground and valley and begins to turn it into a garden from a wilderness. Why? Because some rock had a crack in it and let this water come up from inside of it. People, we have drunk from this fountain. Once and again, it's in there. We need to learn how to release it. Some of you think, well, we don't have anything else to do with the service, and that's why we have you come up here and pray for people. And shock of wonders, it works for you. People, it would work for you if you stood up right now and did it. Because that water is in you, a fountain of everlasting life welling up within your soul. And all it needs to do is come out. It can come out your hand. It can come out your eyes. You can look at somebody, and suddenly there's a transfer of that anointing that's in you. You can breathe on somebody. You can touch somebody. You can turn around without even meaning to and say, huh, to somebody, and that huh is so loaded with the Holy Ghost that they just fall into the power. So many times God's done a work, and I didn't know that's what I was supposed to do. Sometimes you'll hear me say, oh, I came too close to that person. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know that person was so wide open that it just took somebody coming by him like a shadow going by them, and that was all that it took. Jesus, the fountain's in here. How do you know where it's going to flow? Do you know how many times I've gone to pray for somebody, I just zero in on somebody, and I don't always zero in on somebody that the Holy Spirit does, you know. I get a good batting average once in a while, but I have my days that I don't do so good. And I zero in on somebody and I walk right down to them. 6-8 people fall down in a line as I go by them, because those are the ones I should have been praying for, and those are the ones the Spirit ministered in spite of me, and I go and pray for this deadhead back there and nothing happens. So it doesn't even mean you have to be good. You just have to let it flow. It's in you. It flows. Without you even meaning to, it flowed to this one, flowed to that one, flowed to someone else, flowed to someone else. And then you get this deadhead doesn't want it. See, everybody else took it on the line. Praise God. Why? Because it's in you. They were open and they were thirsting. And a faucet of water came by. They just drank. Bless God. Well, you can be that fountain. That fountain of everlasting life. They're not asking you to give them out of what you had. They're not asking you to go to Bible school for 4 years to give them something. They're just asking you to walk by them full of the Holy Ghost. That's all they need. They just needed a little bit of help. It's in you. I want you to know that every time that you've drunk, that there's a reservoir building up in there. Would to God we would live totally drunk in the Holy Spirit, continuously. We would live one continual feast. Would to God we could drink so much we were always just full of the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Use that which God has given you. Use it. Praise the Lord. He that believeth on me, as Scripture said, out of his innermost being, out of his belly shall flow rivers. That's a lot of water. I want to bring you to Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access, now listen to this, by faith into his grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of his glory. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, as sorrowful, in 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Great, in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is the glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all my tribulations. Well, it said, they shall obtain gladness and joy, and what? Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Listen to this. How great of a trial of affliction, the abundance of joy, that the deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality toward us. And in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Why? Because if you rejoice now, Peter says, and that's an order, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when the glory shall be revealed, that is later, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. What's he saying? He wants you happy now, and he wants you happy then. He wants you flowing in the Holy Spirit now, and he wants us flowing in the Holy Spirit then. Now, we have that fountain of joy welling up within us and out through us in the middle of our tribulation and sorrow, and that's for now. And he said later, there'll be even greater joy when we stand before him, and all that will be done away with, because he has given us of that exceeding great joy as we stand before him. Is it any wonder to you that Isaiah began to pen in chapter 52? He said, break forth into joy, O my soul. What does that mean? You just stand up and say, okay, here it goes. Do you think for a moment you can make people happy by standing up here like we did on Sunday and say, okay, here it is. Formula number 1, 2, 3. Ho, ho, ho. No, you know what that was doing? That doesn't give you anything. That was just opening your mouth to release something that was already in there. That only works for those that have it inside of them. It gets stuck up and the devil tells you that it's not going to work anymore, and you had that experience, forget anymore. And who knows what all he tells you. So you come to church full of sauerkraut when inside of your stomach and belly flows a river of everlasting water that all you need to do is just open up and let it start flowing, and glory to God, that river just begins to flush through you and flush out all that garbage that the enemy puts in there and overflows onto somebody next to you. Like happened up here on the platform. Long face, they had the river inside. They just don't know they have it on the inside. And when they started ho, 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 they never got to ha, ha, ha. They lost it at he, he, he. Why? They were releasing something that's inside. So, oh, where'd that come from? Inside. Begin to release the anointing that's in you. Begin to release that anointing. When you go out there in life and everything starts going hard, look, so many of us have drunk from that fountain and have that wine within us that we have no reason anymore to have Wednesday night and Friday night service like it looked like a Holocaust, the end of the world ever came. We have to start grinding at the pump over here and start turning this thing like a dynamo. Start it lighting up your life. Bless God, you come into church and you don't even wait till it started. You're ready to go. You do it the right way or wrong way, you're still ready to go. Out from your innermost being flows rivers of living water. Why? Because they're in. You shall obtain gladness and joy, and out of your innermost being shall flow. When? When you need it. When things go wrong. When you're in tribulation. When you're in sorrow. Paul rejoiced in the midst of tribulation, not after he got out of it. He said, well, I don't have that. Yes, we have it in here. Let it flow. Let it be released. When you're out there doing whatever and everything's going wrong, you have this cloud over your head, look up. Let flow out of your belly. Stir up the Holy Ghost that's in you. Stir up the anointing that's in you. Let it flow. Say, bless God, and let it start flowing up from your innermost being. And then begin to let the river rejoice for you. Before you know, you wonder whether you had a problem or what that thing was. On the other hand, you can just sit there and drink and soak it up and suck the lemon up all day long and then come sour to church. Use it. The Holy Ghost is within you. The Holy Ghost is within me. Stand up in the Holy Spirit and begin to flow. He said, break forth into joy, and so we do. In the 61st chapter, he said, 61st chapter, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, day of vengeance, to the comfort of all that mourn, to appoint and give to all those that mourn beauty for ashes, and give them an oil of anointing for joy, that they might no longer mourn. For those that mourn, give them the oil of joy. Give them the oil of joy. Hallelujah. Break forth into joy, O my soul. I'll put on the garments of praise, because the Holy Spirit is within us. And that's what I'm doing. For those of you who haven't drunk, I'm telling you, drink. For those of you who have drunk and have a little bit of water, I'm saying, release that water that's inside. Well, I'll lose it. I had 6 ounces. You pour out 8 ounces, that leaves me minus 2 ounces. Well, let me tell you how it works, folks. Do you remember the 5 loaves and the 5 fishes? Well, they still had 5 loaves when they were through feeding 5,000. You don't lose it. It just keeps coming out. It's like the cruse of oil. She just kept dishing out of it every day, and it's just keep same amount. It was always there, just fresh. Hallelujah, just fresh. That's how it works. You say, well, if I give it all out, I'll have to sit and drink for a week. Folks, you give it out and you still have what you take, and if you drink more, you'll have more than you did when you came in. Quit being stingy with it. Multiply it. Release it. Use it. Use it in church. Use it in your home. Use it in your own life. Don't just use it when you take a shower. Release that anointing that's in you, because God has spoken to you tonight. This is the hour, the prophetic hour of the release of the Lord, of the mountain of the Lord, releasing water unto us. And we're going to stand up and we're going to drink and we're going to start releasing that anointing that's in us and learning how to flow in that anointing that He gives us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.